Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to look into this letter. Thank you that as you spoke through this man, Paul, to the Thessalonians, you also speak to us today. Help us to receive what you have to say and apply it to our lives. And would you build us up in your Son? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder, what would you say is the one quality that you want to be known for? Maybe that quality is humour. Maybe you want to be known as the funny one, the one who can answer anyone with a quick, witty comeback and always deliver the punchline in just the right way. Or perhaps the quality you want other people to notice is your dependability. You want to be seen as someone who will always follow through on their promises. Or maybe that quality is hard work. We maybe want to be the one who's seen to be putting in the hard graft at work or at church on a Sunday morning. What is it that we want to be known for? And what about this church? What about Rylands Community Church? What do we want to be known for? Do we want to be known for our music? For putting on a masterpiece of a show every week? Granted, I think we do a good job. But is that the most important thing? Or is it about our size? Is it the number of people coming to this church? Is it our growth? Well, this morning we're looking into a letter written by Paul to another church, another group of people in their local community trying to live for Jesus. And we're going to see that for this church in Thessalonica, modern-day Greece, the quality that everyone around them knew them for was their faith. If you want to look down with me to verse 8, which we've just had read, Paul writes, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, and your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it." You see, the faith of the Thessalonians is the talk of the town. In fact, it's already so clear to everyone in the surrounding areas that there's no need for Paul to say anything. Their faith is recognised by everyone. So what was this faith that the Thessalonians had that made it so everyone was speaking about it? And as Rylands Community Church, what can we learn? Well, the first thing we're going to learn from the Thessalonians is that recognisable faith is lived out. Recognisable faith is lived out. Well, in the book of Acts, the story of the early Christian church, it says in chapter 17 that Paul had been in Thessalonica for about 3 weeks before being driven out of the city. And in those 3 weeks, after hearing Paul speak about Jesus' death and resurrection, many of the people there had come to trust in him. And so the Thessalonian church was formed. Now, if you'd like to look down with me to verse 3, Paul writes to the Thessalonians that he's remembering before his God and Father their work produced by faith, and labour prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul writes of three things that he sees in them: faith, love, and hope. And hearing that must have sounded like a big stamp of approval to the Thessalonians at the time. And we see that this faith, love, and hope don't just stay as feelings inside, but look at the words that Paul uses. He uses the word work produced by faith, labour prompted by love, endurance inspired by hope. These aren't passive words, but they're active. They show that there's some real effort going on here from the Thessalonians. So what would this work, labour, and endurance have looked like? Well, in chapter 5 of this letter, Paul gives them instructions about how to keep living out their faith. Turn with me to chapter 5, verse 14. Hopefully it's just over the page. He writes, "We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone." See, what's common in these actions is they're not centred on themselves, but they look like a genuine other-centeredness, looking out for each other, bearing with one another as they lived out their faith. They were to continue encouraging others to live for Jesus, both through warning them of the importance of not being idle and through helping those who were weak. And it's important to remember that Paul wasn't encouraging them to work at earning God's favour. No, in fact, this work produced by faith and labour produced by love, these were natural reactions to God's favour upon them. It's like if you've ever been to the doctors and they take out that little hammer and tap your knee. Your leg just can't help but kick up. So for these Thessalonians living out their faith, The things they did for each other were a natural reaction to their faith in Jesus Christ. And what about us? Do we see this laboring for one another, or that patience with one another? Well, maybe one of the ways you might see this is that even though you're tired because the kids have kept you up all night and you've had 2 or 3 hours of sleep, you come into this church on a Sunday morning and you're helping to set up for other people. How about when someone's under the weather or in a difficult situation and you decide to cook a meal for them and bring it round? Or how about when you're with that friend who's struggling, maybe physically or in other ways, and you're bearing with them through that struggle? You see, time is undoubtedly something that is fleeting, and we could spend our time doing so many other things. But if we're using it to serve one another because of our faith in Jesus, do be encouraged that God sees that. But also be encouraged that that is God at work. Look down with me at verse 5. But Paul writes, "Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." So we know that when we are living out our faith for others, when we're using our time to serve one another, when we're laboring for one another because of our faith, it's in fact the Holy Spirit that is working in us. When we're bearing with that person who's struggling, when we're giving up our time to cook that meal, or we're saying those words that point to Jesus in our community groups, that is God the Holy Spirit at work. What an honour that is, and what a privilege that is. You see, recognisable faith is lived out because God himself is at work in us, producing that love and other-centeredness. Recognisable faith is lived out. And the second thing we're going to see is that recognisable faith stands firm. So Paul in this chapter mentions here that the Thessalonians have experienced suffering. Look down with me at verse 6. "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." And they have suffered. In Acts 17, after hearing about how the Thessalonians were now declaring Jesus as king, we very soon hear about mobs of people who attacked the house of one of these new Christians and brought many of them before the city authorities, where they were stripped of their money. So after only 3 weeks of this newly found faith, things were already looking pretty difficult. They were poor and they were persecuted. And there was a pretty easy solution open to them if they wanted, right? Surely they could give it up. If something was causing them such grief, surely giving up would be the best option. Well, that's not what ended up happening, as Paul describes here. In fact, rather than using this as an opportunity to grumble, Paul commends them for their joy in suffering. In verse 6, they received it with the joy of the Holy Spirit. And now when we hear the word joy, it can be easy to think of it as a sort of bouncy happiness. But the joy of the Holy Spirit is much more than that. It's a deep underlying security that Christ is with them during everything. So despite this rejection by the people of their city, they carried on trusting Christ because they believed he was worth more to them than their comfort. They continued to delight in him. And because of this, in verse 7, Paul writes that they had become a model to the believers in their area, Macedonia and Achaia. So if they're a model to people back then, they're a model to us today. And if they're modeling a faith that stands firm in suffering and opposition, what does that mean for us? What is the suffering and opposition that we face? Well, if we look at our own lives as Christians, it's unlikely that we in our secular Western world have necessarily faced the street mob dragging us before the local council. But what about the Twitter mob? You see, the general feeling is that Christianity is a backwards religion, that it's like believing a fairy tale, and that one can have it, one can believe in it, but we better not try and influence people with it. When Christians call people to follow Jesus, that's where they cross a line. Our culture is opposed to Christian beliefs in a similar way to the Thessalonian culture at the time. But it's true that we don't feel the consequences in quite the same way in the West. But have you ever been in a conversation where people have mocked you for your faith in Jesus? A few months back now at the university events week, there was a young man who had been chatting after one of the talks with a Christian. When asked by another friend how he thought it had been. He said, it was a load of rubbish, but this guy, referring to the Christian, is even worse. After having just met him, this guy seemed to hate not only what the Christian had to say, but the Christian himself. We might not always face it this explicitly. Can't we say that even if it's just the little things, just the words from colleagues or the rolling of eyes, that we've experienced some of this opposition in our lives? Isn't it true that we feel the pain when our close friends or loved ones oppose us or mock us for our faith in Jesus? But how about the suffering that inevitably comes from living in this world? Well, recently I was at a real live session for the students up at Beeston Free, and Steve and Katie were sharing about just how difficult life had been in the early years of this church at points. Things that were clearly distressing. And today we still, as a congregation, have our struggles, whether they're physical struggles or otherwise. But despite that, have you run away from it all? You see, if you're still here despite these situations, your faith hasn't fled. And what a great evidence of God's work that you would still be here. You see, in the midst of our pain and difficult situations, it can be easy to feel that God isn't with us. Or when we're struggling with broken relationships, it can be tempting to feel like God doesn't care for us. And it can be also tempting to not keep telling people about Jesus when we know we'll probably face mockery. But when we face the trials of suffering and ridicule, how do we actually end up responding? Does our faith stand firm like the Thessalonians? You see, when our colleagues mock us, do we stop talking about Jesus, or do we trust that we have something much better than our reputation? When suffering comes to us, whether it's physical or otherwise, do we feel like God is not for us, or do we find our peace in him, knowing that he's with us? Friends, do we see that response of joy that the Thessalonians had in their trials? The joy that's given by the Holy Spirit, meaning that our response of faith and joy isn't something that we muster up, but it's God himself working in us. That he's refining us by these difficult situations. Do we trust that he is doing these things for our good? And that like fire helps to mould silver or gold into the right shape, God is changing us by this and drawing us nearer to him. God is at work. So this recognisable faith that the Thessalonians had is one that stands firm in the midst of trials. So a recognisable faith is lived out in love for one another and stands firm in the midst of bad situations. And the third thing we're going to see is that recognisable faith is in God alone. Recognisable faith is in God alone. Why don't we look down to verse 9 and 10, where Paul writes, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. Well, living in an ancient Greek society, it's likely for these Thessalonians, turning from idols meant a literal rejection of their old gods that they previously put their hope in. Maybe gods such as Zeus or Aphrodite or Poseidon, or many others, and now they were turning to the living and true God. They were now worshipping Jesus above all the others. So what are the Poseidons or Zeuses of this age? What are the things that we live for? The things that Paul in this letter calls idols. These are things that we think will give us a sense of significance or security or satisfaction. What are those things for us? Well, maybe we think that success in our jobs or degrees is what will make us feel significant. Maybe we think that relationship or marriage will ultimately give us all the comfort and satisfaction that we need to feel complete. And maybe we think if we just had a bit more money that then we'd be secure. Many of these things we want, and it's so easy to see them as the be-all and end-all. But do we see that we often look to these kind of things to make us feel like everything's okay in the world? But ultimately, they can't deliver. Maybe we rely so much on that person to the point that they're everything to us, and we fail to see that they're human too. Or maybe to us, our status in our job is the most important thing, that getting that promotion is everything. But in fact, even in succeeding, we're still not satisfied in a way that lasts. You see, whoever we are, it's surely true that we find ourselves looking to things or people to make us whole. And these are what Paul would call our idols. So the Thessalonians turned away from their gods to, as Paul writes in verse 9, to serve the living and true God. They no longer served those old gods, but served Jesus. So what does it mean if we're turning from idols to a living and true God? Well, many of you, if you're into football, may have seen that Arsenal are getting a new manager, a guy called Unai Emery. And even though the players have been playing under Arsene Wenger for all those years, things will need to change under this new coach. So for us, if we've turned to God, we're under a new manager. And we'll now seek to be living a life to serve him and not our old boss. So faith that is recognisable is in God and not in all the other things we used to trust in. And friends, be encouraged that if you're turning to God and valuing him more than anything, that he's watching over you and he's changing you. That if you've turned from success and money as being your primary goal in life, if you're still here, you're still serving others and living out your faith, and if you're speaking about Jesus, despite the shame that it might cause you, as you endure through suffering, be encouraged that your faith is seen by God, and be encouraged that God is at work. So how can we be confident that this faith is really worth it? Well, look down with me again to verse 10. We are to wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath. So this faith isn't found in what appears to just be a nice idea, but this is a faith grounded in what God has done. God has acted in raising his Son from the dead. When all looked lost, after he died on the cross, 3 days later he rose. And now he's reigning, and he's coming back. And as Christians, we have full confidence that we will be with him. We have a sure and certain hope so that we can live for him as we wait for his return. And let me invite you, if you wouldn't say that you have that faith in Jesus, that is an open offer, that there is an offer there for anyone to turn from living for other things that promise so much and deliver so little, to turn from living for self and to live for him, so that when he returns, you are ready. You see, if we turn to him, there is hope and there is a future that is so much better than the other things that we think will satisfy. And there will be a day when we will be finally satisfied if we wait for Jesus. So what do we want to be known for as Rylands Community Church? Don't we want to be recognised for our faith, for living it out in love for one another, for our faith standing firm in the face of opposition? But ultimately, don't we want our faith to be known because of the one whom we have our faith in? Jesus, the one who rescues us from the coming wrath and gives us peace. So will we go forth in confidence if our faith is in him and trust that he is working in us? Let's pray. Father God, we praise you that you are above all other things. And we thank you for your faithfulness to us in this church. Thank you for sustaining us in our weakness and for the love that you have shared to us, which enables us to share with others. And Father God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he is risen and reigning with you. Thank you that when he comes back, we will be with him if we are in him. And may we live with an overwhelming sense of your grace to us, Father. Help us to live with assurance and confidence, knowing that you are at work. In Jesus' name, amen.